Caribou would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Grand Central Bakery, a locally owned artisan bakery in Oregon and Washington, with many locations in Portland. For more, go to grandcentralbakery.com. Lunch was provided by Cannon's Rib Express, located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue, an award-winning barbecue restaurant in Portland. Dinner was provided by Holy Moly, a food cart that serves Mexican mole, located 1419 Southeast 33rd Avenue in Portland, on Southeast 33rd and Hawthorne, down the alleyway. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
This is David Barsamian of Alternative Radio. Alternative Radio has a long relationship with KBOO. It was one of the first radio stations in the United States to start broadcasting alternative radio. It took that chance. It's always been at the cutting edge of audio and progressive news and information. And right now I'm asking you to become part of KBOO. Support this very valuable community resource. Your electronic umbilical cord to alternative and independent news and information and poetry and music. Call 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. Do something for your community. Support KBOO right now. Thanks very much.
Hi, this is John Nichols. I write about politics for The Nation magazine. And frankly, politics in most of America is a mess. But it gets better in some places because people have the information to cut through the spin. In Portland and throughout Oregon and this region, you've got KBOO. And KBOO gives you the information to cut through the spin, to get to the reality, and to speak truth to power.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Be up in a second. We are just resolving a technical glitch. In the meantime, here is a drum solo.
Max Rose, je crois que c'est votre troisième visite en France. Max, I believe this is your third trip to France. Is that so?
Yes, it is. The first, in 1949, I was here with Charlie Parker.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Is Jeff Sessions Voldemort?
Mexico City suffers its second major earthquake in 1 week.
And the Senate will soon vote again on repealing the ACA. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we would like to urge you to become a member by calling this number, 877-500-5266. I'm Annette Newell.
And I'm Kyle Carrezzi. A rally today drew between 150 and 200 people outside of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services building in Northwest Portland to protest the visit of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Sessions is here to speak to federal immigration officers, local FBI officials, and federal prosecutors. He is expected to speak on subjects ranging from sanctuary cities to violent crime and immigration policy. Portland police were on hand during the rally. However, the Department of Homeland Security was in charge of law enforcement at the scene.
It's back. The Republicans in Congress are once again trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act. According to the New York Times, President Trump wants the new bill passed by the end of next week. That's when a budget rule expires, which would allow senators to pass a health care bill with only 50 votes, including a possible tie-breaking vote from Vice President Mike Pence. This time, Arizona's governor has endorsed the plan to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which could sway Republican Senator John McCain, who cast the deciding vote against repealing it back in July. The New York Times says the so-called Graham-Cassidy bill would end the requirement that all people buy health insurance, end the subsidies that help people buy it, and stop the expansion of Medicaid. It's named after lawmakers Bill Cassidy of Louisiana and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. And today in Salem, Governor Kate Brown signed House Bill 3440. About the rapidly unfolding opioid epidemic in the state of Oregon. It was previously approved by the Oregon House back on July 5th. The bill charges the Oregon Health Authority with a supervisory role, ensuring proper prescription practices surrounding OxyContin and other opioid pharmaceuticals, and regularly publishing updates on the situation. It also removes hurdles to prescribing and distributing the opioid-blocking drug naloxone, also known as Narcan, and promises monetary reimbursements to patients for their first 2 weeks of treatment and 30 days of medication. And it establishes an opioid abuse task force composed of 29 members, which will report back to the Legislative Assembly by September 15th of 2018 concerning the scope and severity of opioid use in Oregon.
A formerly homeless man named operating under the auspices of the City of Portland has developed an app that makes it cheaper and easier for economically challenged residents to apply for housing. The new online platform, No App Fee, is supported by $525,000 in grants from the new Portland Housing Bureau to be doled out over the next 3 years. It was announced last Friday morning at a press conference by Poole, Mayor Ted Wheeler, and City Commissioner Chloe Udaly, and will be up and running late this year. Wheeler described the current rental market as a convoluted labyrinth of frustration, exorbitant fees, and laborious paperwork that keeps many poor would-be renters struggling to keep a roof over their heads. Users of the app will pay a single fee for access to a comprehensive list of vacancies to be conveniently directed to rentals that suit their statistics. Specific populations expected to benefit from the app include people with Section 8 vouchers, bad credit, a criminal or eviction record, and those threatened by domestic violence.
Police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana are holding a man on drug charges, but they're also considering him a person of interest in the murders of two black men last week. On Tuesday, Bruce Cofield, a 59-year-old homeless man, was shot and killed in what police first believe was a random crime. Then 2 days later, 49-year-old Donald Smart was killed in a similar manner while walking to work. Both victims were African American. In both instances, the gunman was wearing dark clothes and it was fired from a red sedan, then exited the car and shot the victims multiple times using a 9mm handgun. A witness on Tuesday reported hearing 12 shots fired. The man in custody, 23-year-old Kenneth Gleason, has not been charged with the crimes as police do not have enough evidence yet. However, they have stated they believe the crimes were racially motivated.
And we've been listening to KBOO Evening News. Good afternoon. You are in the middle of KBOO's fall membership drive, so I want you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 to become a KBOO member. Or if you can make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. I'm Jamie. I'm a volunteer programmer on KBOO's Labor Radio, and I'm joined here by Dan, another volunteer. Hey, Dan.
Hey.
And we're thrilled to be on the KBOO Evening News this afternoon to share with you why it's important for you to support KBOO right now.
And we'll get back to the news in just a little bit, but there are a few things that I want to remind you of. First is our goal for this hour is $180. You know, that amounts to like $15 a month. But that would be cool if somebody picked up the phone, dialed 877-500-5266 and said, yeah, I'll support you for $15 a month, but you don't have to. $10 a month, if that's within the budget, we'd love to have you. One way or another, all you have to do is pick up the phone. Now, I'd like to thank John for renewing his membership from White Salmon. Thank you, John. You're a big help. Now, to all those others out there listening, we want you to become a member of KBOO right now and be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing gets you an experience you can share with your friends for a long time. You'll win a private party gift certificate for 10 people from Eastside Distilling in Portland. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. Call 877-500-5266 now just to be entered for a chance to win. Or you can go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. Let me give you that phone number again, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm.
You know, Dan, how many times have you said to a friend, I was listening to KBOO and heard this story? You know, I was listening to KBOO and I heard about Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, being here in Portland. And in fact, I was there at the protest. So, you know, KBOO is like local and brings you stories and news and insights that make you stop and think. And they don't just tell you about the gloom and doom. They tell you about how to get involved and connect you with local activism. And you can be part of that KBOO community. You know, KBOO Evening News is produced here every weekday by volunteers, researched, written, and read by volunteers, volunteers who care like you do about building a progressive movement to change our community and our nation. So you can get involved with that community and be a contributing member by going to 877-500-5266 or donate online at kboo.fm.
All right. Thank you so much, Jamie and Dan. With the help of cooler temperatures and the rain over the last 2 days, firefighters have contained about 46% of the Eagle Creek fire. The fire has consumed almost 49,000 acres. They expect it to continue to smolder and that it could still spread within the perimeter, but officials don't expect to see any more significant growth. The sheriff's office lifted evacuation orders for Multnomah County on Monday, though level one orders are still in effect for Cascade, Loxawiath, and Viento due to a flash flood watch.
A hurricane warning is in effect for residents of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico tonight. The National Weather Service forecasts that Maria will make landfall
on the island sometime Wednesday as a Category 3 hurricane with sustained winds of 105 to 125 miles per hour. Though it is a significant downgrade from earlier in the week, the NWS is still urging residents to protect themselves. Quote, "Now is the time to urgently hide from the wind. Failure to adequately shelter may result in serious injury, loss of life, or immense human suffering." The island's public safety commissioner, Hector Pasqueda, went a step further, telling residents, "You have to evacuate, otherwise you are going to die." Maria made landfall in Dominica on Monday night, where widespread devastation has been reported. The country's leader, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit, wrote on Facebook that, quote, "The winds have swept away the roofs of almost every person I have spoken to. The roof of my own official residence was among the first to go. I am honestly not preoccupied with physical damage at this time because it is devastating, indeed, mind-boggling. My focus now is rescuing the trapped and securing medical assistance for the injured. We will need help, my friends. Help of all kinds."
And now we hear from our friends at Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. A healthy coral reef teems with life. Fish, sea anemones, and other creatures live on and around the reef. And inside the corals live mutually beneficial algae, which provide them with critical nutrients. But when oceans get too warm, corals expel the algae and turn stark white. It's called coral bleaching. And when it's severe, corals die and whole ecosystems are destroyed.
It's an impact that takes this beautiful system and just turns it into a graveyard.
Mark Aiken directs the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Coral Reef Watch. In just the last 3 years, more than 70% of the world's coral reefs experienced extremely warm water temperatures. Aiken says this caused the most widespread bleaching event on record. NOAA says this particular event has likely ended, but corals remain at risk. And as oceans warm, corals have less time to recover between bleaching events. Aiken says the survival of many coral reefs depends on whether or not humans reduce carbon pollution.
If we don't get climate change under control, the reefs don't have a chance.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at laborradio.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises.
For WIN, I'm Joanne Powers. Out on strike since March of this year, nearly 2,000 electrical workers in New York are stepping up the pressure in their fight against Charter Communications. Dozens of other unions and community groups joined International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 3 Monday afternoon for a massive march and rally. Negotiations stalled over the company's refusal to make any offers unless the workers give up their union pension and health care plans. Local 3 business manager Chris Erickson:
"The company is refusing to negotiate anything if the union does not concede to their demand to eliminate those benefits. They've bought and paid for these benefits over 40 years. Every time the company settled the contract and offered 3% each year, the members had to allocate some of that to improve the pension or cover the medical. They've done that. So as far as we're concerned, they own these benefits with a company that has a CEO that made $98 million last year and is basically trying to starve my members into submission. This isn't only about them. This is about the middle class. This is about everything that's at risk. And I hope today is a day that starts the battle for workers in this country to get the respect that they deserve and the share of the wealth that has been shifted so unfairly to the top 1%. They envision Walmart wages and right-to-work states. That's not anything to aspire to. Today we fight for all workers. it's going to take a campaign to bring this company to the table, to make them understand, and hopefully they'll capitulate and recognize how important this is to their employees. And they could end the strike tomorrow if they could just get off the dime over this issue. Today's the day, I hope, that wakes up the sleeping giant.
AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka was among those addressing the crowd.
You see, I'm proud of my brothers and sisters of Local 3, every one of them, for going on strike. Because it takes guts, and it's a tremendous sacrifice. And I'm encouraged by all the unions and other groups that are out here today, public and private, big and small, standing together, fighting together, winning together. This is what solidarity is all about. We're the labor movement, and no one pushes us around. No one. United we stand, divided we fall. An injury to one is an injury to all. They won't injure Local 3 without taking all of us on.
Brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield National Labor Office, empowering working Americans with stable health coverage for over 50 years. The National Labor Office is committed to remaining the top choice for the 17 million union workers, retirees, and families they serve. Online at bcbs.com/NLO.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit workersindependentnews.com.
And now it's your daily labor history in 2 minutes with Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1977. That was the day that is remembered in Youngstown, Ohio, as Black Monday. The Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company announced plans to close its doors, laying off more than 4,000 workers. Youngstown was a steel town. During the first half of the 20th century, plants were booming. Youngstown was also a union town, a stronghold for the United Steelworkers by the 1940s. But by the 1970s, the once booming steel industry was going bust in Youngstown. More and more jobs moved overseas and to states with less union protections. Black Monday began a devastating series of plant closings. 2 years later, Briar Hill Mill closed, followed in 1980 by U.S. Steel. In 1985, it was Republic Steel's turn. By the early 1990s, the steel industry, which had once employed 40,000 people, only had 1,000 workers left in Youngstown. William Lawson, the executive director of the Mahoning Valley Historical Society, recalled the impact of the closings, saying, quote, "Over the course of my high school career, many boys and girls I had known in grade school left, some in the middle of school years, most during the summers, as their parents accepted transfers to work in other plants around the country or lost their jobs and went out in search of employment elsewhere." In 1997, the Jeannette furnace at the shuttered Briar Hill plant was dynamited, despite preservationists' efforts to save it. Bringing down the Sweet Jenny furnace became symbol of Youngstown's economic ruin, memorialized in this Bruce Springsteen song.
Here in Youngstown.
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Sweet Jenny, I'm sinking down here, darling, in Youngstown.
And we are back. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan, along with Jamie, and we're giving you the KBOO story. And the story is very important because we want you to become a part of our family, the KBOO community. I want to remind you, our goal for this hour is $180, which doesn't sound in the grand picture of things like a lot of money, but you know what? Every dollar counts, and we want you to be a part of that building. So pick up the phone, 877-500-5266, or go online right now to kboo.fm. You know, Jamie, I got to thinking, and this is a bit of nostalgia, if you will.
I love it.
But I started my volunteering experience at KBOO in the newsroom about 8 years ago. And I did a lot of the typical things. I wrote and produced copy, and I did all the other things. And then I evolved into doing some more, personal things, like I did the new news for a couple of years, but I was always a part of the news community. And that's what happens when you become a part of this community right here at KBOO. You find a niche. You find something that's important to you. I know what you do with the labor program mm-hmm. is extremely important. All of that matters because we start somewhere.
That's right.
We want you to start by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm. And I've seen a lot of people through the years, and I'm sure you've done the same, that have been a part of the community, and some of them are still involved here, but there are other places around the country. And one of them in particular that I remember is Sasha Bookert. And Sasha was, she and I became buds, if you will. Mm-hmm. And she is now an attorney with Lambda Legal.
All right.
And she is working diligently on this issue about trans veterans. And so it's amazing. You see somebody sitting next to you, they're doing something like this, and then the next thing, they're off doing something even bigger. And so that's the exciting thing about being a part of this community. Pick up the phone right now. We want you to be excited about becoming a part of this community, too. 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm.
Yeah, and we want our listeners to consider becoming a sustaining member. Consider contributing $10 a month. To KBOO. It comes out to $120 a year, which is great for KBOO, and $10 a month is easy. Come right out of your checking account or your credit card, and you hardly even notice it. And it gives us a regular source of income. Think about becoming a member now and enter to win a prize. You know, today's drawing gets you an experience you can share with your friends. You'll win a private party gift certificate for 10 people. How about that? From Eastside Distilling in Portland. And we're offering a new prize every day of the drive. So just call 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. And go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. You know, the labor radio reporting here on the evening news just sets my heart aflutter. I got to KBOO as a union activist, you know, and there's zero reporting in the mainstream news, and from a positive point of view about labor, you know, there's some negative, of course, you know, but here we have on KBOO news, positive news about a strike, you know, the great slogans of the labor movement, solidarity forever, an injury to one is an injury to all, you take one of us on, you take all of us on. Right. You know, where do you hear about it? Where do you hear that kind of stuff? You don't, anywhere except KBOO. And so, you know.
Now, you were even downtown today when Jeff Sessions was in town, weren't you?
Of course, yes. And say it loud, say it clear. refugees and immigrants are welcome here. That was the slogan.
That's just the way we operate.
That is. You know, Portland's known as a progressive city, but it didn't become that way overnight or by accident. 40 plus years of KBOO, day in and day out, has set the agenda and molded the minds of Portlanders. And you know, if you're one of those Portland progressives who appreciates listening to KBOO, now's the time to become a member. To just take care of the paperwork, you know, get on the phone, dial 877-500-5266, and consider a $10 a month, becoming a $10 a month sustainer, or you can do that by going online, making a secure donation at kboo.fm. If KBOO reaches you, then reach us. If KBOO moves you, then move us. Move us. Come on. Do the right thing. Be the change. Yes, we can. Si se puede. KBOO is the radio roots, and the only contribution too small is the one that you don't make. ¿Quieren volver?
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for an in-depth interview with writer and animal communication specialist Joe Becker, who will be discussing how to prepare your pets for a natural disaster. At 6 is Portland Queer Radio, followed at 7 by Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather, expect more rain and possible thunderstorms with a high of 57 degrees. Today in history, in 1957, the U.S. conducted the first underground nuclear explosion in Nevada. The quote of the day is from comedian Steve Martin, who said, "A day without sunshine is like, you know, night."
And now we hear from our colleagues at National Native News, headlines from the Sovereign Nation.
This is National Native News. I'm Hannah Colton in for Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal advocates for Bears Ears National Monument say Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's recommendation to shrink or lift restrictions for 10 national monuments is disappointing but not surprising. A 19-page document leaked from the Department of Interior Sunday indicates that Bears Ears is among four monuments Zinke wants resized. Carlton Baukati is Zuni Tribal Councilman and co-chair of the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition. He says he's optimistic about public support for keeping Bears Ears at its current 1.35 million acres.
There's archaeological sites, geology, paleontology, traditional hunting areas that continue to be important for many Native communities. And we believe that with proper education that non-tribal members will understand the significance of this area.
While Zinke's recommendation is vague on which lands he'd like to remove from the designation, the Salt Lake Tribune reports Utah Governor Gary Herbert has specifically proposed shrinking Bears Ears down to one-tenth its current size. Herbert told reporters that tribes are acting against their own interest in advocating for a monument that brings visitation to protected sites. Nijon Mesa is legal and policy director of the nonprofit advocacy group Utah Dene Bekea. She says Governor Herbert is interfering with the sovereign relationship between tribes and the federal government.
I think he fails to consider that the tribes do know what they're doing. They have put a great thought into it. These leaders don't do things just lightly.
Attorneys with the Native American Rights Fund have said President Trump does not have the authority to revoke or modify monuments and that they're ready to bring legal action if he does. An Alabama politician and former judge made headlines this week for using racial slurs during a campaign speech. Roy Moore is one of two Republicans running for the Senate seat vacated by U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. In a recording of the speech shared with The Hill, Moore is heard using derogatory terms for Native Americans and Asians while calling for God to unite the country. Politico reported this week that Moore has a significant lead on Luther Strange in polling for the Republican runoff for the Alabama Senate seat. Officials with Yellowstone National Park have not indicated whether they will support a proposed name change for two park features. More than a dozen tribal leaders and others gathered at Yellowstone over the weekend to call for changing the names of Hayden Valley and Mount Doane because they're named after men who advocated the mass killing of area tribes. Sarah Craig reports.
Each tribe calls the two places something different. Here's Lewan Tyler. He's a council member of the Shoshone Bannock tribes.
Mount Doane is Pohoroyavi, Hidden Valley of Bojanasogop.
And Jim Swag is a member of the Pekani Nation.
The Doane Mountain, Matumatapi, Mishtak, and the valley, Ine, Tomo.
But together, they agree that the two places shouldn't be named after Ferdinand Hayden and Gustavus Doane. Hayden called for the extermination of Native Americans who didn't pursue ranching or farming. And Doane took part in killing almost 200 Pekani people.
Makes me cringe up just to think about it.
That's Brendan Sazu from the Crow Creek Sioux tribe. He drove 10 hours from South Dakota to join the protest.
It'll bring a little bit of closure to our people just knowing that two names were changed out of many thousands that still are out there.
The tribes want to change the names to Buffalo Nation's Valley and First Peoples Mountain. That's why they are marching to deliver their message to the park's deputy superintendent, Pat Kenny.
We know this is a sensitive issue, and we'll be sure to give it great consideration.
But Kenny says the park usually remains neutral on issues like this, and they don't actually have the power to make the change. That's up to the U.S. Department of the Interior. For National Native News, I'm Sarah Craig.
And I'm Hannah Colton.
A powerful earthquake rocked central Mexico today, toppling buildings and killing at least 49 people. The U.S. Geological Survey reports that the 7.1 magnitude quake struck at 1:15 local time with an epicenter 5 km ENE of Rebozo in the state of Puebla. It was initially unclear how much damage has been caused, but reports are beginning to emerge of significant damage and loss of life in population centers throughout central Mexico, with deaths reported in the states of Morelos, Puebla, and capital Mexico City. Videos and images posted to social media bring bridges and roadways have collapsed, residential and commercial buildings crumbled, and suspected gas leaks are fueling fires across Mexico City. Reuters is reporting that the city's mayor has announced that some residents are currently trapped within those burning buildings. The quake is the second the country has faced in as many weeks, and struck on the 32nd anniversary of the 1985 quake, which killed thousands of people and prompted efforts to improve infrastructure throughout the country.
And you're listening to the KBOO Evening News, and you're in the middle of KBOO's fall membership drive. So I want you to go to your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 to become a member, or make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. We're encouraging folks to consider a $10 a month donation to KBOO. It's easy. It comes right out of your bank account or a credit card, and you hardly notice it. And KBOO sure appreciates it, because it's free to listen to, but there's quite a few expenses, and this is your opportunity to join the KBOO community and really like your union dues, which protects your job, or your church tithe, which protects your spirit. Your KBOO membership protects your access to this kind of information, this news and public affairs that you use in your daily life, information that you use in conversations with your coworkers, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your political comrades. So do it now. Go to your phone, dial 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. I'm Jamie. I'm a volunteer programmer. I'm here with Dan.
And I am here, I think.
Sure you are.
I want to remind you that our goal this hour is $180. You can help us achieve that goal by dialing 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm. And one of the things that I want to do right now is I want to invite you to become a member of the KBOO community. Be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing gets you an experience you can share with your friends. You'll win a private party gift certificate for 10 people from Eastside Distilling in Portland. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. Call 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win, or go online to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. And that's just one of the many ways for you to find out about what makes KBOO tick. We've got so many things going on, it's unbelievable. And I know that you are involved with your program. I do a podcast. And even when I first started volunteering here, and I probably, you've been around here longer, I would think, that podcasts weren't done then.
That's right. podcasts are something new.
Yeah, they're relatively new, but they're all platforms that we use to stay in touch with the world. And you can be a part of that by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm.
All right. Thank you so much, Jamie and Dan. And now KBOO reporter Al Khan has a brief commentary on the history of KBOO radio.
Almost 50 years ago, a small group of Portlanders formed a group called Portland Listener-Supported Radio and approached a man named Lorenzo Millam, who was a veteran of KPFA in Berkeley, California, and also helped start the Seattle station KRAB. With Millam's help, Portland Listener-Supported Radio applied for a license with the FCC for a radio station in Portland, and KBOO was born. The license was granted in June of 1968 for a fee of $4,000, and with a budget of $50 a day, KBOO started broadcasting with a booming power of 10 watts. A basement room was donated on 3rd and Salmon Street in downtown Portland. The space was barely big enough for two tape recorders and one turntable. About 30 volunteers came together to help out, including radicals, professional broadcast engineers, and musicians. In the beginning, KBOO was only on the air when a volunteer could spare time to come and operate the station. But then we began to grow. New volunteers started coming, and they brought their talents with them. They even brought big, heavy tape recorders to concerts and political events to record these for broadcast later. Soon, local artists, musicians, and poets became aware of this outlet to highlight their own talent and flock to the small studio. Then in the summer of 1970, KBOO obtained a 1,000-watt transmitter, spreading the signal to most of Northwest Oregon. After 3 years, KBOO outgrew its studio and moved to a storefront on Southeast Belmont Street near 31st Avenue. By 1972, KBOO became an official nonprofit foundation and elected its first board of directors and became a fully independent station. By 1973, KBOO membership was around 600 people, with 30 active volunteers, and station manager John Ross was able to obtain a federal grant of $80,000 to help purchase new equipment. Another move happened in 1977 to a location on Southwest Yamhill Street, where a new 12,000-watt transmitter and a surging wave of volunteers enabled KBOO to broadcast 24 hours a day. Then in 1981, KBOO was able to purchase a small warehouse space at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and volunteers swarmed the old space and transformed it into the home KBOO has today. My personal experience with KBOO, I think, is pretty typical. I started listening now and again and found some music shows I really liked. As I became more and more tired of the repetition on commercial stations, not to mention the intelligence-demeaning advertisements, I started to listen more. This led me to an amount of guilt during membership drives. After all, I love the station. I really should support it. Then one night, while listening to the evening news and thinking that this is really the news I want instead of the dribble that I saw on TV, so I pulled the trigger and made the call. As soon as I made that pledge, I felt different. I was part of this now, and I had found a brand new family. 2 weeks later, I found myself at volunteer orientation, where Annie Hayes greeted us all like long-lost brothers and sisters. After this, I joined the news team, where I've met some incredible people who are as intelligent as they are passionate. To be part of this, I consider a great honor. This station is as special as it is unique. We help each other here, and we teach each other. When you take a class here, it's not taught by a staff member. It's taught by another volunteer. I consider this a very special thing. There are now over 500 volunteers at KBOO, and each and every one are like my family, along with all the members who help support us. So maybe once a month, you can do something like bring a sack lunch to work instead of going to the local diner and save 10 bucks. That's all it takes, 10 bucks a month. And you, too, can be part of this incredible thing. So go ahead, make that call. It's 877-500-5266. Give us a helping hand. I'm Al Khan, and I thank you for your attention.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8255. 8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Al Khan, Jasmine Moneymaker, Tony Glamour Tramp La Tigre, and the producer is Zelos Marchant. Special thanks to Native Voice One. Our engineer is Kanan Schlesinger, and KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelos Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on Translator, K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on Translator K220HR. I'm Kyle Carrezzi.
And I'm Annette Newell. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, Paul Rowland is facing cataclysm without illusions with environmental activist Ken Ward. At 9, Sojourner Truth updates the growing rebellion in France against President Macron's attack on welfare and labor unions. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, The Food Show has organizers from the 2017 Northwest Permaculture Convergence, which begins next week. KBOO keeps you informed, and we want you to get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
And we are back. Thank you very much for listening to us. I'm Dan, along with Jamie, and we're here to tell you the KBOO story during our fall membership drive. I want to remind you our goal for this hour is $180, and it's highly achievable. All we need you to do is pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. Jamie, I want to one more time thank Jillian from Oregon City for becoming a new member of the KBOO family.
All right, Jillian.
And Matthew and John. Matthew is from Portland. John is from White Salmon. We want to thank each of you for renewing your membership. And so all of this happens during our membership drive. And we want to thank each and every one of you that participates, because without you, it wouldn't happen.
That's right. And we're encouraging you to become a sustaining member. Think about $10 a month. You know, if you throw down for $10 a month, you can get a special gift of a KBOO USB drive of exclusive audio from our history. We've been on the air almost 50 years, and I'm one of those old Portlanders who've been listening to KBOO since the beginning. And remember some of these shows: 1969 interview with Pete Seeger, never before broadcast talk by the late Manning Marable, who wrote How Capitalism Underdeveloped Black America, Margaret Mead interview in 1968, Bell Hooks, Ken Kesey. Anybody remember Ken Kesey? W.E.B. Du Bois.
Yeah.
1964, Paul Robeson, 1957, Dick Gregory just recently passed, 1967. These are all in the KBOO archives, and if you come across with $10 a month, that's $120 a year for KBOO, but it's only $10 a month for you, then you can get this KBOO USB drive exclusive audio as a gift. So call us now at 877-500-5266. Or donate online at kboo.fm and become part of the KBOO community. You know, volunteers produce all these shows. They run the committees, they serve on the board, they finance the station. This is your community too, listener. And, you know, I was just a listener for many years, actually decades, before someone said, and pull out your phone or go to your phone. Well, but actually by that point, we were pulling out our phones. And I had one of them cell phones and pulled it out, you know.
And it worked.
It worked, and I dialed that 877-500-5266. And, you know, it had such an impact on me that shortly thereafter, I became a programmer. I joined the Labor Radio Collective, and, it's been all uphill or downhill since then.
But it's been a great experience, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can say the same thing because even though I haven't been around as long as you have, I haven't been around
KBOO
as long as you have.
Yeah.
I do have a family kind of feeling here, and I think that's one of the things that keeps me coming back time and time again. I want to remind our listeners that your support goes to a media that does not give a platform to hate speech and oppression.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's important because, you know, we just can't tolerate that. We cannot. That's why it's so important for you to pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. My friends, do it now, because these are important times that we're in.
That's right. Contributing to KBOO. Invest in progressive change.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Joe Becker is a public speaker, writer, and animal communication specialist. She has a natural penchant for being prepared and holds a healthy respect for risk management. Her broad knowledge of the housing industry and fascination with emergency response and disaster management have made Joe fervent about matters of dignity, respect, equity, and justice for all, including justice for animals. Joe has deployed to help with emergency animal shelters, also known as EASs, and she speaks on what people can do to prepare for such disasters when it comes to their animals, which are certainly members of their families too. So we have live in the studio Joe Becker. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. This is fun.
Glad to have you here with us. Joe, this happens to be National Preparedness Month, and it's a bit ironic considering what's been going on. We're talking about the hurricanes down south. We've seen the earthquakes shaking up Mexico this week. And here in Oregon, we've been struggling with forest fires, wildfires that have been out of control and really affecting our ability just to breathe the air around us. What do people need to do to prepare themselves and their families and especially their pets for these emergencies?
Well, first of all, don't be an ostrich with your head in the sand. The fact of the matter is Oregon is susceptible to all the major disasters, save for about two. We don't really have the conditions for hurricanes or a history of sinkholes, you know, the big, massive sinkholes. But everything from avalanche to dam failure, drought, hazmat, fire, flood, epidemic, you know, I mean, all the other disasters we're susceptible to, which can seem kind of overwhelming, but the truth of the matter is no location is safe from several disasters, nowhere in the country, nowhere in the world. So preparation is the key. You know, don't be overwhelmed by the fact, just accept know what your risks are in your area and then plan to prepare.
Are there any preparation tactics, some core things that can apply to all types of disasters instead of specific ones?
You know, my philosophy and a lot of the studying that I've done, I found that if you prepare for one thing, you're really preparing for another.
Okay.
So, you know, one tactic someone might use is look at the disasters that are most likely in your area and plan for that. Or if it helps you, plan for the one that scares you the most and, you know, plan to deal with that. Or if that's too overwhelming, pick the one that you think you can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Pick one. And as you're, you know, gathering supplies, thinking about strategy, thinking about your options, your alternatives, resources out there, you're going to increase your resiliency and your ability to survive a disaster and go on to thrive after that, regardless of what the event is.
Now, you brought a flyer in with you today. It's actually a pet flyer and has the pet's information. Tell us about this and why it's important for people to think about this ahead of time.
You bet. One of my favorite pet prep tips is to make a lost flyer now before you need it. It's a good tool to have on a good day, which means there's no event going on in the community, but someone left the door or the gate open and your animal's gotten out. On a bad day, there is an earthquake, a fire, or whatever going on in at least the neighborhood, if not the region, and you may not have a power to design the flyer. They may not be able to print them. You don't have don't want to take the time to do all that. So making a flyer now with pictures of your animal, whatever animals you have, different angles, any identifying marks, distinguishing marks, along with pictures of everyone in the household. Anyone who might go to an emergency animal shelter trying to find and claim the animal, that might help with proving ownership. Include any vital information and contact information. Think redundancy. Have a digital copy handy. Printed copies. So again, if power is not available, you've got a few that you can start canvassing the area. Listeners can download a free template in Microsoft Word on my website at joebecker.weebly.com. Go to the animals page and then the resources page. You can download that and stick your own information, your own pictures in. So it's a free or inexpensive way to get started. You can do it now, and it could be useful in a blue sky day or a disaster day.
Great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of preparation can you do for your pet when a disaster happens? Because it seems like it'd be kind of hard to wrangle during that type of situation.
So one of the other topics that I speak on is critter communications and body language. You know, again, on the good days, it can help with enhancing your bond with animals. On a bad day, if the animal's sick, injured, scared, there's maybe a disaster going on and they're acting differently, it can help you read their body language communications. Interestingly, critters as well as humans, the majority of our communication is body language versus verbal. So paying close attention to and looking for signs in their body language and then knowing how to alter yours to either dominate the situation or de-escalate a situation can really help you. For example, in a disaster, if your animal's hiding and doesn't want to come out and you need to evacuate together, those sort of things can be useful. So being aware of their body language and your own is key.
Yeah, so the pets are going to be freaked out, and people are going to be freaked out in an emergency situation. Disasters can be really devastating for all of us. What are some of the tips you have for dealing with the emotional aspect of a disaster?
Well, for me, disaster planning is all about the animals. So the first thing that comes to my mind is I know I'm going to be calmer and more at ease and less stressed out if my animals are with me, if my whole family, including the non-human family members, are safe and at hand. And if I can calm myself down, that will help keep them calm. And you're not worrying about somebody's wandering around the neighborhood or the woods and you don't know if they're okay. And so planning ahead, taking notice of warnings that are given, pulling animals in and sheltering in place, or evacuating early, depending on what the authorities suggest, is a good suggestion so that they're close at hand.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk about the classes that you're teaching that are coming up?
You bet. I've got some community college classes that are talking about animals, everything from critter classifications, pets, service and assistance animals, critter body language, emergency preparedness focused on animals, great and small. I've got classes at Clark Community College, Chemeketa, PCC, and they're starting later this month and going into October. So folks can find information on my website at joebecker.weebly.com.
Wonderful. Joe Becker, so great to have you here with us today, and it's wonderful for us and also for the animals in our community, too, to have your insight and perspective on this. We thank you so much for being here today.
I sure appreciate your interest. It's obviously a topic near and dear to my heart. I hope we reach some folks and get folks thinking about it today.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Joe.
Good evening. The time is currently 5:58. You're listening to KBOO Portland. And up next, we are going to be hearing from KBOO's trans and queer community. And I believe that means that trans positive is coming up. But first, a few words.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Grand Central Bakery, a locally owned artisan bakery in Oregon and Washington, with many locations in Portland. For more, go to grandcentralbakery.com. Lunch was provided by Cannon's Rib Express, located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue. An award-winning barbecue restaurant in Portland. Dinner was provided by Holy Moly, a food cart that serves Mexican mole, located 1419 Southeast 33rd Avenue in Portland, on Southeast 33rd and Hawthorne down the alleyway. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now. Take what you allow me to and take. I wish I could
really. KBOO's Fall Drive Daily Prize Drawing Rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the daily prize drawing. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance of winning. The prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household will be accepted each day. Winner will be determined in a random drawing daily between the hours of 10 p.m.